Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Friday, April 22nd, 2022. This is edition number 158 of season 4 of the Morning Devotional. We are working our way through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. We're dealing with matters related to the subject of prayer. And so let's pray first, and then we'll take up question number 102 together this morning. Father, as we now come to your word, we come with the humble expectation and reliance upon your Spirit that he will teach us and guide us and direct us in all things. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us to pray, and we might pray rightly. We might pray in a way that honors and adores you. We confess to you that we fall very far short of these things, and so we ask for your grace and help even now as we consider these very important matters from your word, that you would teach us and help us, that we would live out that which we hear even this day. Forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to question number 102 together this morning. The question is, what do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is, thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. Now, as we consider this second petition, yesterday we looked at the first petition, which is, hallowed be thy name. Today we're talking about matters related to the kingdom of God. Really two kingdoms here in view in this answer of this catechism question. We have the kingdom of God, and we have the kingdom of Satan. And the first thing that we pray, of course, is that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. Now, of course, the question may come, just exactly what are we talking about when we're talking about Satan's kingdom? We're talking about anything that is antithetical to God's kingdom, anything that is antithetical to God's kingdom as expressed in his word, the mandates, the commands, the rules, the precepts, the statutes that God has outlined for his creatures. Satan's kingdom works militantly day and night against the very kingdom of God itself. Now, Gerhardus Voss, in his fine commentary on the Larger Catechism, asks that question, what is the kingdom of Satan? And he answers it this way. The kingdom of Satan is the sum total of everything in the universe that is contrary to the will of God. Satan, the chief of the fallen angels, became king of the kingdom of evil when he fell from his original holiness. The Catechism rightly speaks not only of the kingdom of sin, but of the kingdom of Satan. Because sin is not a natural force, such as gravity or electricity, sin is committed by persons, and the kingdom of sin is a kingdom of sinful persons, evil spirits, and human beings, under the control of the supremely evil person called Satan. The kingdom of sin is a real kingdom with a real king, Satan or the devil. Every attempt to tone down or explain away the objective reality and personality of the devil is contrary to the Bible. So it's real. We know that the Apostle Paul has taught us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces in the heavenly places. And there is a real kingdom, one comprised of absolute evil at its head, in the person of Satan, and worked out and lived out in the lives of those who would live antithetical to the very kingdom of God. Now, of course, as Christians, we want to see that kingdom destroyed. We are at war, as a matter of fact. We are the church militant. And so one of the things that we are praying is that the church would be active in this engaged, the church would be engaged in this battle and do so very much with the help of God and his grace. Now, Jesus talks a little bit about this in Matthew chapter 12, and a passage that has received a great deal of interpretation. But Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 25, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay, so two kingdoms, again, Jesus is talking about here. This is actually the section that has received a great deal of interpretation, dealing with the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And that was one of the accusations that was levied against the Savior. And, of course, if he was working for Satan, yet casting out Satan, that's a contradiction. No, indeed, we are working against a real kingdom, but we are working on the side of the victor, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to put to death and to trample underfoot the very kingdom of Satan. And that is precisely the reason why Jesus Christ came, or at least it's one of the reasons. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, we read that there. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. So he is our commander, he is our chief. And so when we pray, thy kingdom come, we are praying that the kingdom of Satan then, therefore, would indeed be destroyed. Now, how is that kingdom destroyed? Again, Gerhardus Voss helps us here when he says Satan's kingdom is destroyed by the work of Christ, the Son of God, who came to destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John 3:8, as I just read. Worldly, mechanical, or merely human methods cannot accomplish anything toward destroying Satan's kingdom. Satan's kingdom is partly destroyed by the work of God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God in the conversion of sinners and the sanctification of believers. It will be completely and forever destroyed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Many people are deceived into thinking that the general progress of human civilization, general education and culture, science and invention, and economic and social progress and organization can restrain or destroy Satan's kingdom. All these can fit in with Satan's kingdom as much as with God's kingdom. Only the gospel of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, really destroys Satan's kingdom. And so we should pray for the advancement of the preached word, the central, the primary, and ordinary means of grace. Every time a minister of the gospel stands in the pulpits, wherever it may be found, wherever he faithfully communicates, proclaims, preaches God's word, he is engaged in spiritual battle. I believe it was John Calvin who said that Satan is never more active than when the word of God is open and preached. And indeed, that is absolutely true. And so we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. We also are praying that the kingdom of grace may be advanced. Now, the kingdom of grace, of course, is the advancement of the gospel itself. And so we're praying for the success of the preaching of God's word. We know that that is the means by which Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. And so we are praying for the advancement of the gospel all over the world. Not just in our own town, although we should be praying that, of course, but we should be praying for the advancement of the gospel wherever it is found. And so Psalm 72, verses 8 through 11, may he have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. Now, of course, this is speaking about Christ and his rule and dominion that he will take to himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so we are praying for the advancement, very much so, of the gospel itself. And so again, Voss, why must we pray for the gospel to be propagated throughout the world? It is through the preaching of the gospel that God's elect are brought to salvation. Since this is a matter of such great importance with so many obstacles in the way and involving such great difficulties, it calls for earnest prayer. It is God's will that the gospel of Christ be preached to all nations. Some countries are shut against the gospel today. We should pray that God would cause the doors that are shut to be opened so that the gospel of Christ can enter and salvation be offered to the people of those countries. Some countries, such as Turkey and Russia, are almost locked tight against the gospel of Christ. In other countries such as Spain and Mexico, there are various restrictions and hindrances to the preaching of the gospel. And so, whatever country it may be, at the time of this, the writing of this commentary, those were the ones that were most known. Today, we might think of China and other nations such as China. But we should be praying for the advancement of the gospel in those areas and that it would advance and therefore then destroy very much the kingdom of Satan. We read again of this in Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, there in verse 14. We read, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And so there Jesus says, it will be preached to all nations. And so we should lean upon that promise. We should lean upon those words of the Savior as we pray that the kingdom of grace be advanced. We also are praying that the kingdom, that others would be brought into it, ourselves and others brought into it, and kept in it. That is to say that there would be success to the preaching of God's word, and that many would turn and look to Christ for salvation. And then as we seek, as redeemed people, to live according, and then we seek to live according to the word, the mandates of the King of the glorious heavenly kingdom. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. That is to say, that it might have success, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. And so, we are praying that there would be success to the advancement of the kingdom of grace. We are praying that it would be used to bring many into the kingdom of grace, to the kingdom of God, that many would convert, they would turn from their sin and look to Christ, even as Paul commended the church at Thessalonica here as those that received the word preached, even as you have received it, as the Holy Spirit has changed you and transplanted you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of light. We pray that others too may be drawn in. Now, you may have family members or friends, loved ones, it could be a spouse who doesn't know Christ. And only God can change the hearts of men. Only God, through the power of the Spirit and the preaching of His Word, can change the hearts and inclinations of intentions of men's hearts. And so we plead with the God of heaven to advance His kingdom through the proclamation of the Word and the advancement of the gospel. And you should be praying that every week as you prepare to worship, for you do not know the state of the souls of people that are in that room. Your minister, your pastor doesn't know either. And you should pray for great success in the preaching of the word. See conversions and repentance come from those that hear it. Well, we not only pray that the kingdom of grace be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it. We pray that we would be kept in it, that God would persevere us as He's promised to do for all His elect people. And then that the kingdom of glory, that is the heavenly kingdom come down, that is the kingdom that we long for, we await even today, may be hastened. And so we're reminded of the very words of Revelation 22 and verse 20 there. The Apostle John, at the end of this letter, he writes, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen," John says, "come, Lord Jesus." Now, one of the things that we do in our worship service at the very end, after I pronounce the benediction, the congregation in unison says, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen." Why? Because we've just heard the word of God proclaimed. We've just heard of a military campaign into the kingdom of darkness. And we know and long for the very crushing underfoot completely and totally of that kingdom. And it comes through preaching, but it comes ultimately when the Lord Jesus returns. And so we long for that. We look for that. We even pray for that. And again, Voss asks the question in his commentary on this matter. He says, "Is it proper to pray that Christ's second coming may be hastened?" Certainly, and we should be sure to do so. Of course, we should not wish for Christ's second coming to take place before the appointed time when all of God's elect will have been brought to the saving knowledge of Christ. But we should wish and pray that the appointed time may be hastened. The spirit that would prefer to postpone the kingdom of glory in order to afford greater scope for the plans, programs, and activities of the church during this present age is alien to the philosophy of history taught in the scriptures. According to the Bible, the present world is a preparation for the eternal kingdom of God. The eternal may not be subordinated to the temporal. We are not only to desire our Lord's second coming, but to pray that it may take place quickly. When is the last time you've prayed for the Lord to return? Indeed, we should be. And when we ask, when we pray in the second petition, "Thy kingdom come," this is what we are doing. We are praying that the kingdom of Satan would be destroyed. We are praying for God's kingdom of grace to be advanced. We are praying that others would be brought into it, ourselves and kept into it. We are also praying that the Lord Jesus Christ would hasten the day and return in glory to rescue, bring to himself his people. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information, the way to do that is there before you on the screen. And so until Monday, when we look at Shorter Catechism question 103, may the Lord bless you and keep you this day. May you serve him, walk in his ways. God bless.